Without further ado, welcome tonight, everyone, to Citizens Climate University. We are covering the 2017 Congressional Education Day lobby meeting preparations on tonight's lesson. And we are so incredibly lucky to have with us two special guests for tonight's call. First up, we have Mark Reynolds, CCL's Executive Director, joining us. And my biased opinion, Mark is one of the most inspirational and charismatic national leaders within our larger climate coalition. And he gets up every day and puts on his pants one leg at a time like the rest of us. But in between, he empowers us all as ordinary citizens to educate our influential stakeholders about the benefits of bridging our partisan divide and taking action on national climate solutions. Thanks so much for being on the call tonight, Mark. And with Mark, we're equally lucky to have CCL's Vice President of Programs, Madeline Pera, for a truly powerful 1-2 punch. I know I speak for almost everyone on the call, I think, when I say I wouldn't be an active CCLer if not for Madeline's endless insights, constant encouragement, and ongoing support. And through webinars like this, she still somehow has time for all of CCL's 85,000 and plus supporters. Thank you for being on the call tonight, Madeline, and joining us. So, a quick review before I pass the baton over with our learning goals tonight. We are hoping that attendees after listening to tonight's lesson should be able to prepare for their own Congressional Education Day meetings, demonstrate the effective communication skills to deepen our connections with Congress, and understand that critical importance of citizen lobbyists, the roles that you all play, as well as the importance of your own story. And to really get there, tonight's agenda is going to begin with a little background about citizen lobbying, and then jump to our 2017 June analysis, and really preparing for any year's analysis and sharing that with Congressional Education Day offices. We're going to have a chance to discuss some early lobby stories from both Mark and Madeline's perspective, as well as yours, and then jump into a real wonderfully framed role play for our November lobby meetings. We'll then have a chance to really highlight some final planning details for your meetings, and then really open it up for more discussion and Q&A. And just a quick reminder, really, I guess, of why we're all here. The 4th Annual Congressional Education Day is happening just around the corner. It's a 2-day event. It's going to consist of training and followed by a day on Capitol Hill. There's over 500 registrants already signed up, which is more than the 3 prior Congressional Education Days combined. But we're really excited about hopefully getting more folks signed up. The deadline for registration is by the end of tomorrow. That's Friday, October 27th at the end of the day. Make sure to get anyone that you know signed up if they haven't already. And this year's anniversary for our 10-year anniversary celebration will also be marked at Congressional Education Day. So we're really excited about having the chance to highlight both of those opportunities to celebrate in D.C. I'll pass the baton, though, without any further ado to you, Madeline, and thank you all so much for being on tonight's call.
Okay, thank you, Brett. That was one of the sweetest introductions I've heard in a while. So to everybody here, I'm really glad to be with you tonight. Mark and I hope that you already remember that you're the most important people on the planet. But just in case something caused you to forget that, we're taking just a minute here to remind you why your role as citizen lobbyists, as active participants in our democracy, why that matters. So why lobby as a citizen? Well, like it says on screen there, there's a simple reason why we have the stereotypes associated with lobbying and why companies pay so much for lobbyists. That's because it works. But really the main point is that successful lobbyists, whether they're paid or a passionate citizen like us, what those lobbyists do is develop relationships. And lucky for us, we don't need millions of dollars to develop relationships. So then what's the role of citizens? Well, you know, it's just not possible for members of Congress or their staff to know every detail about various policies, so they rely on other people to inform them, and that's one reason that we meet with them. And then, of course, another reason to think about is, if we're not meeting with them, who is? You know, it's going to be the paid lobbyists. And those folks meet with the offices frequently, and so should we. So lobbying is really just expressing your voice and making the case for what you want Congress to do. But as we'll talk about here, there's kind of 2 ways you can go about that. But first of all, we want to remind you, too, that any constituent who makes the effort to travel to Washington almost always will get a meeting with either the member of Congress or their staff. But you could think of there as being two kinds of constituents, and they're not always given equal weight. So here's an example. Suppose a constituent stands up at a town hall meeting and says, I think we should reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. Well, the congressman's going to file that in one part of his brain, the part that's tracking the opinions of constituents. But if the same constituent says instead, I think we should reduce our greenhouse gas emissions because my three-year-old daughter has respiratory problems, that congressman's likely to file that in a completely different part of his brain. You know, the person is going to have a stronger bond to the legislator because there's kind of a compelling reason for action there. And the congressman is more likely to feel a greater obligation to integrate those concerns into their decision making. So really the lesson here is that constituents who can express a genuine interest in a story, even as brief as in the example here, are more likely to have influence than those who are just simply telling their opinion on an issue.
So this is the picture from our very first conference. As you can see, there were 24 of us, and we thought we were quite a mob of people. But that's an important piece of that also. Lobbying as a group is an entirely different phenomenon than individuals coming in. I actually worked in a political office about 20 years ago, and we related to people that came in as a group entirely different than we did as individuals. So actually, our first lobby day was a year before this conference, and it was just Marshall, our founder, Danny Richter, and I. And it was right at the time when the House was working on Waxman-Harkey. We were going into offices telling them that we thought cap and trade was an overly complicated program, and a way better program than that would be a straightforward revenue neutral fee or tax on carbon. And we thought we were really good and had very compelling, convincing arguments, but none of the offices thought that. In fact, our meetings were so bad that every single one of them, walked out of there shaking our heads going, that was like the worst meeting I've ever been in with anybody about anything. And the one that really got my attention, we were in Senator Kerry's office, who was working on a companion bill in the Senate to match up to Waxman-Markey at the time. And halfway through the meeting, the aide closed her notebook. Now, when somebody closes their notebook, they're giving you a very clear signal that the meeting's done. They're not interested in what you have to say anymore. She continued gracious. She didn't interrupt us. She didn't ask us to leave early. She simply said, I'm done with what you're telling me. So what we did is what anybody who's paying attention to someone's body language would do. We started talking louder and faster because she obviously just needed us to get more points in. But anyway, on the way out, and she was very gracious, again, taking us out in the hallway. She said to me in one of the most tired voices I have ever heard, I am just trying to pass a bill. And that was troubling to me and made me realize we were doing something very wrong, and had kind of a rough night struggling with, you know, we thought we had these good arguments. They're so logical. They make so much sense. Why are we not being persuasive at all? So the next morning, Marshall and Danny and I had breakfast, and I said, you know what? Those meetings couldn't have been worse than they were. How about if we throw all that out and start over again? Today, let's just go in. Let's see if we can find anything in common with the person we're sitting across the table with and see what happens there. And actually, every one of those meetings was electric that day. That was the moment for me where I had that kind of aha moment of, holy cow, this might actually work.
Wow. I like how you came back, learned from your mistakes and came back, Mark. I have a lobby story too. And it was at my first national conference, which was, I think, the next one after that picture. I noticed in one of my meetings that I was the only woman on a team of six, and that all of us were much older than the young female staffer that we were talking to. And like Mark was talking about, we too got carried away, and all the guys started talking at her. And I could see by her body language that she was not enjoying being with us. So I was trying to figure out what to do. I knew the guys that I was with, and I thought they could handle this. So I just interrupted the meeting and literally asked them to stop talking so much. So everybody looked a little startled, but I think the aide enjoyed that very much because she smiled and began to open up more. I have to say that was not my most elegant moment. I'm sure nowadays I could think of a better way to do that. But it also reinforced for me that the most important thing is to build the relationship when we go meet with them so that the staff wants us to come back. And, you know, that staffer warmly welcomed me for a lot more meetings in that office until she left them. All right, so we'd like to hear a few of your lobby stories. Mark and I talked about meetings where we forgot to listen, and we're wondering if you have a lobby story. We especially love those success ones, but both kinds are instructive. Do you have a lobby story where you realize that you really could make a difference? Mark's going to give you a sneak preview. He's going to give you a few bullet points now from the report on our June lobby day, and he's going to talk about why we share this report in our November meetings. And then I'll say a few things about what to do and not do in our meetings. And just remember that you're going to get a more in-depth discussion of this report from Danny Richter next week on CCU. But Mark, what are the highlights?
Yeah, so again, I think it's important to remember that we are uniquely able to do something that nobody else can do. Because on the issue of solving climate change, nobody sees over 500 offices and then actually is able to go back to Congress and say, here's where you are with respect to the issue and here's how that's contrasted to previous years. Yeah, so one of the things that we'll be able to do is show them every year what was the number one issue. And this year, just like last year, what we track is what the offices say to us. Obviously, what they say is influenced by what we say. But what we track is what did they ask about? What did they know about? And the number one raised issue again this year was the Climate Solutions Caucus. We'll get into that in a little bit more detail with Danny next week, but I think that's really, really interesting. We're also able to compare key issues year to year. So some of you remember that 4 years ago, the most prevalent issue was what we call China, the border, American competitiveness. Then the next year it was the dividend. So it looked like there was some change in thinking from here's why this would never work to, well, if we did this, how would you actually implement it? And then the last 2 years, it's been the Climate Solutions Caucus. We also track the quality of Republican meetings. What we try and do is track the tone of those. You know, there's this narrative that we'll even talk about in the role play a little bit out there about where Republicans are on climate change. And what the public perception is just doesn't match up to our experience. We think it's really important for us to report back the tone because many times Democrats seem extremely discouraged, and for them to understand how many Republicans are interested in moving forward is important, but equally important for Republicans to know that there's going to be safety in numbers. And then also we'll report if there's been a change in the percentage of face-to-face meetings. So let's look at a couple of those numbers from this year. So 4 years ago, we track, you know, engaged to disengaged. You know, do they ask penetrating questions? Do they seem interested? So 4 years ago, we had three what we called engaged meeting to one disengaged. The next year that went 6-1. Last year we had 10 engaged meetings to one disengaged. And this year, 20 engaged meetings with Republicans to one disengaged. So that means very few Republicans we talk to anymore don't seem interested, don't want to talk, aren't interested. So that's going very dramatically in the right direction. We also have a rating that is exactly counter commonsensical. So in our rating, you would think A would be best, A is worst. So this is specifically on where are they on the issue of man-made climate change. We also rate where people are with respect to carbon fee and dividend, but this is simply, do they recognize that climate change is something and it's caused by man? We only have 11 offices left in that category, so that's pretty remarkable also. And then the fact that 28% of meetings were face-to-face this year, that contrasts with 9% last year. So if 28% of meetings are face-to-face, it means the aides are going back to their members because they're supposed to be very good gatekeepers to make sure that they don't let anybody in that's going to waste the members' time, that you're making a very strong impression with the aides so that they're wanting to say, yes, this group should meet with my member. Really important that that's moving that direction.
So here's a few do's and don'ts for the meetings in November. First of all, you want to share what is interesting to them from the report. That, you know, some of what Mark said might not be what's interesting to them. So you want to find that out and focus on that. A second thing you want to do is invite them to the briefing that we'll hold on the Friday of that week on the dividend delivery study. And you'll get all the info about that when you get to DC. A third thing, what we always want to do in our meetings is to continue to strengthen our relationship with them. And then lastly, you want to find out and provide what they need to increase their support for particularly carbon fee and dividend. A couple of don'ts. Don't tell every detail that interests you. And don't ignore their interests and their body language. All right. So we're going to do a role play next to illustrate how a meeting might go. And I want to just introduce that a little bit. So I've been participating in the webinars that are offered by the Effective Communication Action Team, and they're based on an approach called motivational interviewing. I asked Dave Christian, who leads those webinars for us, I asked him for his best advice, or his advice on best practices for these kind of conversations we're having where you have information that you want to share. So his advice is to give information in small bites and stop often to find out their thoughts on what you said and to offer choices about where to go next in the conversation. Now that sounds obvious when I say it, but I found that it takes a lot of discipline to pause my explanations in order to engage the listener, you know, because I get all excited about what I'm trying to say. So for practice, I wrote out a role play in which I used that approach, and I also incorporated into it some of the tools that I've been learning from the motivational interviewing webinars. Things like open questions, affirmations, and reflections, which is what I might call paraphrasing. So as you listen to Mark and I do the role play, see if you can pick out some of those techniques. All right, so Mark is the constituent, he's the CCL volunteer, and I'm the staffer for Representative Smith.
Great. Madeline, thank you for meeting with us. We always enjoy our time with you, and we've appreciated the support that Representative Smith has given for the victims of the three hurricanes.
Well, thanks for coming, Mark. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. It's always good to see you, too. So for the last 4 years in November, we come back to the Hill to share what we learned from over 500 meetings with offices in the House and Senate in June in regards to a market-based solution to climate change that is endorsed by former Secretaries of State Schultz, Baker, as well as our country's leading climate scientist, James Hansen. That is what we hope to share with you today, but we want to do whatever is most useful to you. So please tell us what you would like to get from this meeting today.
Well, I am interested in what you learned from all those meetings, because it's impressive to me that you do that. But I'd also like to be able to better explain to my boss why you think carbon pricing is such a good idea. We got a lot of phone calls about carbon fee and dividend last week.
Ooh, good. We're glad to hear that. Okay, so it sounds like we should spend some time on a report and some time on the benefits of carbon pricing in general and our carbon fee and dividend proposal specifically. How much time do you have blocked for this meeting?
About 30 minutes.
Okay, great. Which would you like us to start with?
Well, I am curious about your meetings.
Okay, well, what kinds of things are you most curious about?
I wonder what my colleagues think about your proposal and if you're getting anywhere with it.
That certainly gets at the heart of things and is always what we want to know too. There are several ways this report addresses that. One way is that we look at what topics are raised the most often and how that's changing. So we're encouraged to see that there's been a lot of questions about how the carbon dividend would be returned to households, because it tells us that your colleagues are thinking about the details of the proposal. You can see the top issues this year and how they've changed over previous years.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that there's a lot of interest in the Climate Solutions Caucus.
Yes, we've been encouraged by how it's grown this year. It's up to 30 Republicans and 30 Democrats. And we like that they are talking with each other about solutions that can work for both parties. What's your opinion of the caucus?
I'm not sure they're going to do anything significant.
I appreciate that you don't want to waste time on things that don't make a difference. We think that's important too. It has taken them some time to get organized because they've grown so fast, but they've held some briefings and introduced several pieces of legislation. With 60 members, they're beginning to have the numbers to make a difference. We keep a pretty close eye on them and we'll be happy to keep you posted on their activities. Would that be useful?
Yeah, I'd like that.
Okay, what would be the best way for us to do that? By email or by periodic phone call?
Oh, email makes it easiest for me to share with other people here.
Great. We're all about making information easy for people to access, and we know you have many things you're keeping track of. A second part of this report also speaks to your question about how much of an impact we're having with our meetings. Our legislative director reviews all the meeting reports and rates them based on how much interest is being shown by the staffer or member of Congress on the topic. We particularly look at Republican offices in this area because there's this political narrative out there that says climate change is not a conservative issue, and we want to know if that's true. But when we look at the actual conversations we hold in private, like this one, we find that every year more and more Republican offices are engaging well with us. This is the ratio, what you might call engaged to not engaged meetings. And as you can see, 4 years ago, it was 3 engaged to 1 not engaged, and this year it's 20 engaged to 1 not engaged. The number of disengaged meetings is shrinking to almost nothing. What changes do you see happening in your conversations with colleagues?
Well, you know, we're more focused on other issues like healthcare and taxes, but I do think that things are shifting somewhat here in Congress, and actually your Climate Solutions Caucus is one indication of that.
So you're finding that there are issues in the So you are finding that there are other issues in the forefront, but seeing some change in interest in the issue of climate change and see evidence of that in the growth of the Climate Solutions Caucus. Is this a good time to transition to addressing your need for some more information about carbon pricing, or is there more you want to talk about from this report?
No, let's do that now.
Okay. So what aspect of carbon pricing or carbon fee and dividend would you like to talk about? And then we would go whatever direction they wanted to there. So then the last piece we want to make sure that we bring up in these meetings is to say, there's one more thing we want to tell you before we end. Since the dividend is a topic that brings up a lot of questions at our meetings, we had a study done on how exactly to return it to households. It was done by Alan Lerman. Alan Lerman is a 30-year Treasury Department employee, and he designed the one-time refunds from the Bush and Obama refunds. To make it more accessible to congressional staff, we're holding a briefing just for staff and the members on Friday, one in the House, one in the Senate, and there'll also be really good food. Do you think you can come?
I'll try to come to that. I mean, you just gave me 2 good reasons, food and something that might be useful. So just let me know what time it is.
Okay, great. I have a flyer that I'll leave with you that has all the details.
Okay, so just a few takeaways from the role play. What Mark did, he asked the staffer open-ended questions and what was important to them. He incorporated reflection and affirmation throughout the meeting. He offered some choices at places to increase the staffer's engagement, and he kept checking in for the staffer's interest on the topic. And what Mark didn't do was interrupt them or overwhelm them with information or dominate the conversation. And it didn't look to me or feel to me like he wore out his welcome. He didn't argue or take bait away from any of the common ground. Yeah. That if you are interested in more of that, the action team is on community and has a monthly webinar. We've moved the time off of Thursday because it was conflicting with this one, these wonderful programs. So it's the second Wednesday. And that'll be the next one will be November 8th, and it is going to focus particularly on practicing and getting ready for our November lobby meetings. So if you can come, great. If not, the recordings and slides are posted right at the top of the action team page.
Yeah, so we've done these now in conjunction with Congressional Education Day now. Every year what we do is we have a briefing, one in the House, one in the Senate. So you can see that the Senate one is sponsored by Senator Schatz of Hawaii. That's going to be in the Senate Dirksen room. The House was Representative Larson of Connecticut. So we will have a handout to drop off in those meetings, but we'll be inviting them in advance also. And Alan Lerman, just knows more about getting a dividend back in anybody's hand than anybody you could ever find. You know, so when we initially contacted him, we expected about a 10-page report, and we've got a 60-page report. which he's now in the process of having updated again. So those briefings will be great. We always get good response from the members and their staff are welcome. It's closed to the public though, so this is something where they feel comfortable to ask whatever they want to ask.
Excellent. And just a little reminder again, if we don't get to your questions tonight, we do have two upcoming Citizen Climate Universities that are specifically also on Congressional Education Day. Next week, we'll have Dr. Danny Richter on to really go through the June analysis, as well as an accompanying tool that we create every year. That'll be the same time, same place again, 8 p.m. on Thursday next week at the same Zoom line, 2017-2017-17. And then we'll do a final logistics and schedule walkthrough two Thursdays from now. And those will both make sure to answer and field other questions as well. So I think Mark and Madeline just have one or two final thoughts on planning for your meetings and what works well for them and what to expect, especially for those that are attending for the first time.
Okay, so you're going to get your schedule in advance. In addition to your schedule, you're going to actually have the meeting report. So there will be a team lead assigned. And what would be ideal is if you set up some time to speak before you're actually on the Hill. There'll be breaks during Congressional Education Day. You could set up a call with others. But, you know, we know we're going in wanting to share this report with them. But as you can see the second bullet point, you can see the slide, the most important thing is that we're flexible. Yes, we want to go over what the report says, but if they want to spend more time on carbon fee and dividend or something else, we got to do that. Please dress professionally when we're on the Hill during the Education Day on Monday. Please feel free to dress comfortably, but we want to dress professionally on the Hill. Even if you're meeting with a member, you'll be initially greeted by a staff. Be prepared to exchange business cards. You know, sometimes these meetings are in a private office, and that's great when it is. Sometimes it's in the lobby of their office. Sometimes it's in the hallway. You know, what we just have to take the point of view is, no matter how this goes about, our orientation is we're going to make it work. So our preference is in a private room. It's just not what always happens. So what we obviously want a private room. If it doesn't happen, we got to go with the flow and just make sure that whatever happens is what we make work.
Yeah. And, you know, people always ask about getting ready for these meetings and planning for them. We love how just dedicated and involved people are to preparing and making sure that you're ready. You know, you're going to get what you need to plan your meetings right at the training on the Monday before the lobby day. You'll get your schedules the Thursday before. It will have the contact information for your team members as well as the liaison. The liaison will also get those. So liaisons who want to send some details or suggestions to the team, if they're not going to be there, can do that or send a good thought for an appreciation. And if you're feeling a need, you can contact the liaison for their advice.
So just to close here tonight, thank you again for everyone's attendance. The link to the Congressional Education Day is highlighted here. If anyone has any final questions or would like to register, and remembered that tomorrow's the close of registration, we have specific questions about Congressional Education Day directed to conference@citizensclimatelobby.org. So feel free after tonight to direct anything there. If you have any questions, comments, brilliant ideas, or strokes of genius, we'd love to have any feedback given to me for forthcoming Citizens Climate University lessons. My email is provided there. If you're calling in, it's just brett@citizensclimate.org. And tomorrow by midday, we should have this lesson posted. They're always available. The quickest way I always recommend people to find the most recent lessons is this middle tab of the Learning Center's homepage. It lists the latest CCU lessons. You can also find it by just clicking on community.citizensclimatelobby.org/learn. And we'd love your help in sharing all of these lessons online with social media contacts and your family and friend network. On behalf of everyone here tonight, we just want to close by saying thank you to all of you for giving your time and your energy and your momentum to be that breath of fresh air coming in to the Congress meetings next month in November. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. And thank you again, Mark and Madeline, for being on the call. I'll unmute all lines.
Thanks, all.
Okay, thanks. Look forward to seeing you all.
Thank you very much.
Bye. See you.